Hello, my name is Craig Sebenick. I work at, I'm an SRE at a startup called Split, which I will explain in a second. First, I want to start out by saying that I'm relatively opinionated. I'm going to make a couple of relatively strong statements that may or may not work for your certain organization. I completely understand that there's a lot of gray out there. There's a lot of things I haven't seen. These are the things that work for me, so take it with a grain of salt. Next, while I was doing this talk, there was a lot more things I wanted to say. I tried to parse it down, but it's still a little on the long side, so I'm going to talk kind of fast. Sorry. So first, my background. You will see a number of companies out here that might look familiar. I've worked for some big companies. I've worked for a bunch of startups. Some of these startups you probably never heard of. But if you don't want to talk about tech, you can talk about food. I can talk about food all day long. I went to Le Cordon Bleu for 2 years. I have a grand diplôme. I did a master's program in Florence, Italy for a year. So I have a master's in Italian cuisine. I did another master's program in the University of Reims, which is the northern part of France, in gastronomy, which was a little bit more theory and less practical. So I can talk about food all day long. So what is Split? Split is an experimentation and feature flagging platform. We have SDKs open source in a number of different languages. We are based near San Francisco, Silicon Valley, like a lot of other companies. We're Series B. If you don't know what Series B is, it means we're relatively small, on the order of several dozen employees. Next, a quick overview of my talk. First, I want to define SRE and DevOps and what they mean to me. Now, it's not important you agree with these definitions. What is important, you understand my perspective and how I've defined them and how it colors the rest of this talk. Next, how does a startup work? How does this differ at a startup? Obviously, large companies like Google, Facebook, LinkedIn, they do SRE, but there's a much different perspective when you do it at a much smaller scale. So then I'll make a case for hiring an SRE as opposed to the alternative, which is doing pure DevOps, which I'll talk about kind of the pros and cons. And then if you decided to actually hire an SRE, when do you hire them and who do you hire? And last, once the SRE starts, what's their plan of attack? What do they tackle first? So what is SRE? You've probably heard this term before, site reliability engineering. I know when I tell friends of mine who are even in the industry, I often get a bunch of blank looks. What does that mean? So Ben Trainer, the VP of Google, who actually coined the term, roughly 15 years ago, he calls it essentially what happens when you take an operations job and you put a software engineer in front of it. Now, this is not the same thing. I hear people say that, oh, this means you have sysadmins who code. That's not quite true. Sysadmins have been writing code for a very long time. They write scripts to automate things. They write much larger programs. A sysadmin who code is not the same thing. There is a different mindset when you take a problem and try and solve it with software as opposed to a problem and solve it with people. As an example, you have automation and autonomous. So you have automations. Let's suppose you want to fix something. You have 20 steps. You put all 20 steps in a script, but a person still initiates that script. That is automation. Now, if that script is kicked off by, say, a metric that goes up or down, that's autonomous. A person is not involved. And that is one of the key differences in how you can look at the difference between automation and autonomous and the difference between kind of classic operations and what an SRE does. Another key thing that's different is they are a member of the development team. There is a small quirk here. Google often talks about double reporting and why that's good and bad. Essentially, what happens is all the SREs report into a central organization for management and reviews and things like that. But they are also embedded with the development team, so they work on their code. They understand that their code. That is an important part of how an SRE works. And this is where DevOps comes into play, which I will talk about in just a second. Speaking of DevOps, SRE is an implementation of the DevOps paradigm. I often hear people say, well, SRE is different than DevOps. That is absolutely not true. SRE is an implementation of the DevOps paradigm. So speaking of DevOps, how do I define DevOps? So historically, if you go back way long ago, or companies that still do this today, you have this classic separation between people who write code and people who support code. And so you have developers that write a bunch of code, they throw it over the wall, operations has to support it. It goes without saying that this is kind of dysfunctional. Something breaks in production, something breaks where it's customer visible, and you have a developer who says, well, it works on my laptop. The developer is missing all the complexity in getting that piece of software out into a much larger distributed system with caching, database issues, all kinds of other problems. On the flip side, the operations person obviously doesn't understand all the issues that the developer has to deal with all the product features that come in. They have to balance all this stuff. So you have this dysfunctional system where you have these two different teams that don't really understand what each other, the issues that each other has to deal with. So the idea is to break down this wall. As Werner Vogels from the CTO of Amazon says, if you build it, then you support it in production. And that is the basic idea of DevOps. Now, one of the more controversial things I will say, DevOps is not a job title. I hear this over and over again. My company does this. But the analogy I often use is with Agile. A lot of companies do Agile, Scrum being an example. If you go into a company that, quote, does Agile, and you say, show me your Agile department, they will look at you like you're an idiot. So DevOps is a paradigm. And teams implement along a spectrum. So if you have DevOps that your organization adopts, but you also have engineers with DevOps in the title, it becomes confusing to other engineers who aren't necessarily DevOps engineers. So all that said, I don't want to just throw that out there and not give you some solutions, as gentle as these solutions may be, but the solutions kind of depend on what you call DevOps. One of the things I often hear is DevOps are tools writers. So if that's true, the one thing you can do, Google likes to call them SRE suites, or software engineers. You can call them production engineers. You can call them infrastructure engineers. Again, the main point is if you have something, a paradigm you're trying to introduce across engineering, if you have a specific role with that same title, it creates confusion. So end of soapbox for now. So at a startup, how are things different? One of the big issues is fewer economies of scale. Obviously, there are fewer people, there's less money, there's lots of things that you just have less of. How this impacts you is you have usually fewer internal tools and you rely a lot on SaaS companies. You'll hear me talk about the microeconomy of startups, where some startups exist just to provide features for other startups and becomes this really weird cyclic thing. So usually what happens is there's still the same work that has to be done. So what does this mean? It means throughout the company, not just engineering, throughout the company, you have people that wear multiple hats. So the question is, if you believe in SRE as a way to implement DevOps in your organization, where does the SRE hat fall? Do you have a developer do you have the developers do it, essentially pure DevOps, or do you hire a specialist? Obviously, I'm trying to make a case for the latter, but I will kind of explain the pros and cons of both. So if you have pure DevOps, you can, in other words, put the SRE hat on the developer themselves. The developers then manage their own automation, which is good because they're the ones writing the code, so they know the quirks of exactly how they want to deploy things, how they want to monitor it, et cetera, et cetera. The big advantage here is it scales as the team scales. So as you hire more developers, if you expect them to do the SRE job themselves, this scales as quickly as your developers scale. They're torn between balancing product work and DevOps work. And what I have personally seen is they focus more on the product work because that's what their passion is. So I mentioned all these SaaS companies. There are lots of different pieces. This is pretty typical. This is an amalgamation of my current company, my previous company. And all this stuff up here, there is a ton of stuff missing. So there's all kinds of things, code management, Amazon, the big elephant in the room, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But there's a bunch of libraries that are missing. For example, my current company uses Java, and Dropwords is not listed. Angular is not listed. Ruby itself is not listed. JavaScript is not listed. So while developers may only do a piece of this, it does show the complexity of the different pieces you have to manage. And this doesn't even mention things like Confluence or Jira or Slack. As I mentioned, developers have more of a product focus usually. They want to develop these features in the language they're comfortable with this product they understand. And what this means is they often don't keep up to date on some of the other changes. So big one being security updates. If you have a library that needs to be updated, this is something that has to be a P0. This has to get updated right away. OpenSSL, great example. They also are not often aware of best practices, how to use a different tool. As I mentioned in the previous slide, there are lots of different pieces. Knowing best practices of all those pieces can be a little overwhelming. And then you have integration issues. Again, lots of different pieces, knowing how these different things talk to each other. Usually what I've seen happen is developers, if you take this approach, developers learn the minimal amount they need to run the tool. This is even more difficult when you have SaaS and not internal tools. When you have SaaS, all these different companies that you implement, they have a wide variety of ways of implementing, say, for example, user management. They call them teams, groups, orgs. They have a hierarchy of orgs. Their APIs are very inconsistent in between them. Some of them have relatively strong APIs like Amazon. Others have not so strong APIs. As I mentioned, best practices is often hard to get right. Metrics. So you can have a developer say, yes, we emit metrics. Sure, but are you emitting the right metrics? Do you know what these metrics mean, et cetera? So then the other side is that you hire a specialist. As I mentioned before, they are part of the development team. You don't have the separate org idea. Again, minus this whole double reporting thing that is a little bit different. But they're part of the development team. Again, SRE being an implementation of DevOps, you're trying to break this wall between development and operations. So you just want them to be a developer that happens to focus more on configuration, on deployment, metrics, et cetera. One way to look at this is they can serve as consultant to these various teams. One of the benefits of developer wearing the SRE hat is they understand all of their application, how to actually implement, for example, the Datadog API. They know how to do that in their tool, but again, best practices that they're not aware of. So the SRE can serve as a consultant to all these teams. But it's important to keep in mind that these dev teams can vary where they are in the spectrum of DevOps. A couple of companies ago, I worked for a company that had a number of different teams. One team was a bunch of PhDs. So needless to say, they were experts in one particular field. They couldn't care less about deployment. They couldn't care less about how configs were managed. They were experts in one specific thing. Meanwhile, at the same company, the web company had a bunch of generalists. So they cared about deployment, and they really liked DevOps. They wanted to write more scripts for deployment and help out. So within the same company, there was one team that needed more help from SRE. There was another team that needed less. Just bear that in mind. One of the downsides of doing it this way is the context switching between the teams can be a little problematic. So again, one of the goals of an SRE is to be part of the development team. But if you're trying to context switch between multiple teams, having a deep understanding of how that application works may not be possible. So that's one of the downsides. So again, the overall approach is essentially more pure DevOps or where you hire a specialist. If you put the hat on the developer, they tend to be more product-focused. Things like fixing deployments tend to be less important to them. And the best practices, when you have a number of third parties you work with, they might not be up to date on all of them. Or you put the hat on a specific person. When you're in a small company, hiring a specific person to do just this job can be a difficult call when you're trying to balance all the needs of your customers, all the other product needs. Hiring this specific person, that can be hard on your people budget. But this person can focus on configuration, they can focus on deployment monitoring, et cetera, but this context switching can be a problem. So keep all this in mind, that it kind of depends on how your companies work. I like the latter, obviously, but one of the challenges there is hiring. If you've made the choice to hire a specific person, finding that person can be hard. But let's suppose that you've decided to hire an SRE. When do you hire? Now, I don't want to stand up here and say you should hire them at person 9 or person 90, but here are some things to think about. A site outage that a customer reports before anybody else notices, that's probably a red flag that you should hire an SRE. Do you have code in production that's not checked in to Git? Probably a red flag. Are your deployments impeding feature releases? Do you have developers say, look, this has been done for 2 weeks or 2 months, but I can't get it out because deployments are broken? Again, probably a good sign. When you have problems, do you have sufficient data or logs to be able to debug those problems? If not, then maybe these are indications that your developers are spending more time on product features and less time on the more kind of DevOps-y internal challenges. So, yeah, if yes to any of these, you should probably hire an SRE. So you've made the decision to hire an S3. Who do you hire? It's kind of a unicorn of skills. There's a mix of things you have to know. Sysadmin is relatively common. A lot of them, including myself, come from a sysadmin background, some background in distributed systems. Coding is absolutely critical. They have to be able to read code. They have to be able to write code. One of the quirks with working in a startup is all these SaaS providers. So some experience with the SaaS providers. They don't necessarily have experience with the specific SaaS providers you use, but they have to have experience working with these different SaaS providers. The fact that, again, their APIs can be markedly different between different companies. So it's just some general experience. In my experience, coding is the hardest to find, without question. I've met a lot of people who are AWS certified, who are Red Hat certified, or are certified in blah, 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 blah. Coding is the thing that tends to be the bar that I draw the line. Lastly, I can't talk about recruiting and hiring without talking about diversity. Diversity is extremely important. Everybody has to make diversity a problem you have to solve. So you've decided to hire an S3. You've found the right person. They come in. What do they work on? The Google book talks about this hierarchy of reliability. This is great. However, I find there are different pieces that I tend to focus on. Now, I want to call out, I'm not saying that postmortems are not important. What I am saying is that these are the things that I focus on. Postmortems are a great example. Postmortems generally have a lot of interest throughout the entire company. For example, VPs of engineering generally interested in how postmortems work, getting postmortems done, et cetera. My current company, the VP of engineering cares. The head of product cares, the CTO cares. So postmortems are something that can be tackled by somebody else. It's not something that I have generally had to focus on because a lot of people care about it. Monitoring. I can't talk about monitoring without metrics. In fact, I would probably redo this hierarchy and put metrics at the bottom. If you don't have data, the rest of it doesn't matter. You need data first. The book talks about golden signals. I generally find at smaller companies, again, when you have a lot of things to work on, the first three are generally more important in more or less that order. Saturation, when I worked at LinkedIn, was definitely a big deal. Startups, it's usually not as big of a deal. The other problem is just getting how many hits, requests per second, queries per second, whatever you want to call it, how many errors you have as a percentage of total traffic, things like that. That's a big enough thing just to get out. I focus on that first. Next, you want to look at your monitoring from the perspective of the customer. An example that when I interview people, I talk about monitoring, I ask them what they think is important in monitoring, and the thing that often comes up is CPU. How much are your CPUs using? My current company, CPU is often at 100% for Elasticsearch. Every night, it re-indexes, CPU is maxed out for on the order of 1 to 3 hours. That's normal, that's not a big deal. If you're still serving pages in less than the SLA agreed to by your customers. It doesn't matter. So focus on monitoring from the perspective of the customer, not these absolute numbers that may or may not be impacting what your customer sees. Lastly, don't have a variety of alerts that are just going off constantly. Alert fatigue is a real problem, and you have to keep on top of it. Incident response, know who to contact. It's one thing to know that service X is the thing causing the problem. It's a different thing to know who is responsible for service X, who can help you fix it. That is a very solvable problem. Single communication channel. One company I work for, some people like GChat, some people like Slack. When there was a problem, it means that somebody had to translate between one and the other. That was not a good use of anybody's time. Also, if you have a preference for one, figure out some solution if things are down. Phone bridge, something if Slack is down. It's rare, it does happen, e.g. a couple of weeks ago. So, also, I prefer Slack and IRC as opposed to something like video chat. Video chat is faster, you can get a lot more communication, see people's reactions, et cetera. But one of the advantages of Slack and IRC is you have built-in history. When you go to do your postmortem or your when you go to do your postmortem, you have this nice, clean, easily parsable history of exactly what happened when and by whom. Next, fix and report. Don't fix things in silence. If you're communicating over Slack and you're fixing something, ask if this is the right thing to be looking at. It is very possible that you're fixing a red herring. communicate with people. Communication is often a challenge, especially as you're growing and you're bursting at the seams and you have all kinds of challenges. Communicate with people. Report what you're doing. Ask if that's really the right thing. You might be fixing something that somebody else just changed. Release. I am a big believer in the KISS principle. KISS, keep it simple, stupid. I really believe that keeping releases simple is an advantage to everybody. If your company is growing, you're hiring a bunch more people, the last thing you want to do is have a new engineer come in and have them take 6 months to understand how your deployments work, or 6 days. You don't want to make this complicated. Also, if it's 2 o'clock in the morning, you have a hot fix ready. You don't want to sit there and be stumbling with the deployment system while you're trying to get yourself a cup of coffee at the same time. Next, get the developers involved. Like I said, SREs are members of the development team. They are not the person pushing the buttons for the developers. This is really important. They are there to help the developers. They are there to empower the developers. They are not there to do the work for them. So get the developers involved with the release process. CI is mandatory, absolutely 100%. CI these days with systems like Travis, Circle, Semaphore, CodeShip, yada, 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 CI is relatively simple to do. But again, it is not the SRE's job to implement these tests. They are there to help the developers understand the tools, but they're not there to actually do the tests for them. Implementation is a development problem, not an SRE problem. When you talk about CI, you often talk about CD. CD can be a lot more complicated. Just throwing that out there. I've heard people talk about a number of different ways to figure out which thing they're deploying. Please use semantic versioning. Semantic versioning is much better than Git hashes. I understand why people use them. Sorry, another strong statement. I disagree. Semver, especially in a small company when you have a lot of other things to deal with, Semver is just much easier to deal with. Another strong statement. I understand people like Gitflow putting things into a stage and prod branch. I cannot disagree with more strongly. Trunk development is the way you need to do it. There are side effects of doing this. This is not as easy as using something like Gitflow, but I believe that makes things much more simple. Again, there are quirks with doing this. It sucks, but it is simpler in the long run. Capacity planning. This is easier to do with SaaS. It is easy for me to make an API call to Amazon saying, hey, spin up 10 more instances. Not so easy to call Dell and say, I need 10 more boxes by the end of the day, but it is more expensive. One of the other quirks we're working with a startup is you can have a single customer come on board that drastically changes your workload. You can have one customer that changes your workload by 10x. So keeping on top of what the business is doing, communicating with the business, again, communication is really important, is really important for you to be able to do adequate capacity planning. Also because budgets are a really big deal, right, because you may not make it till next month. So a quick summary. SRE is an implementation DevOps paradigm. They're not completely separate ideas. SREs are members of the development team. If you see them as a separate organization, again, I keep saying this, but minus the whole double reporting thing, that's more complicated than at Google scale, it makes sense. But they're members of the dev team. If they're not, then you're back to development versus operations. You've just renamed it to something else. The problem's the same. In smaller organizations, you can have developers wear the SRE hat, or you can hire somebody. In my opinion, I have seen the developers try and do it. They are often overloaded with product issues, and trying to keep on top of that and the deployment issues, monitoring issues, is often more than they can handle, and the product stuff often gets prioritized. That's my experience. The hierarchy of reliability pyramid can help you guide you into doing what's important first. But I can't emphasize this enough. Metrics are first. If you have no data, the rest of it is meaningless. The net, as I keep saying, you empower developers. You're not there to do the developer's job. This is part of the DevOps. This is part of the DevOps paradigm that you're trying to solve. If you're just doing the job that they don't want to do, you're throwing it over a shorter wall. It's still the same problem. I've mentioned the SRE books book a couple of times. That's the one on the left. The other one came out recently, and then there's a Seeking SRE book, which came out this summer. Some of the chapters are available free on the page. Slides will be available later. And that's the end. If you want to contact me, I'm on Twitter, not very often, but I am there. LinkedIn, I used to work there, so I will respond to emails. GitHub, I don't know if you want to send me a pull request for something, sure. And Split is hiring, so if you're interested, yes, just hit me up or go to the site and look for jobs. And that's it. Any questions?
there's any questions, please go to the microphone. That was awesome timing. 25 minutes, bam. There's so much contentious there. No questions? Come on.
Well, we want to talk about GitFlow or Semver.
I think they're going to ambush you. I think they're going to ambush you in the hall.
Yeah. Awesome. Going once, twice. All right. Thank you.
Thanks so much.